Blog Talk Radio.
Saturday music.
There's a light, certain kind of light, never shine on me. There's a way. Everybody say to do each and every little thing. But what good does it bring if I ain't got you?
Brothers Gibb, the Bee Gees, singing, Love Somebody. what a good song, great song. Bee Gees, that's what we're diving into tonight, the career, the life of four brothers. Bee Gees were a musical group formed in 1958. When they were like 9 and 12 years old, Barry, the oldest, and Maurice and Robin were twins, born a couple years later. They were then performing since they were before their teens. The trio especially successful as a popular music act of the late 1960s and early 70s. And later as prominent performers of the disco music era in the mid to late 70s. They were known as a disco band, and they did not like that. They did not like being referred to as a rock group, a pop group. But they made millions off the Saturday Night Fever album. The group sang recognizable three-part tight harmonies, Robin, clear vibrato, lead vocals, the hallmark of the early hits, while Barry, the R&B falsetto, became the signature sound during the mid to late 70s and 80s. Bee Gees wrote all of their own hits, as well as writing and producing several major hits for other artists that have been regarded as one of the most important and influential acts in pop music history. They've been referred to in the media as the disco king, Britain's first ballad, harmony of the kings of dance music. Vivid, active 1958-69 and 70-2003. The members were Barry Gibb, Robin and Maurice, the twins, Vince Maloney, Colin Peterson, and Jeff Bridgeford, other musicians. Andy Gibb, the youngest brother, joined the band to sing several hits and had a career of his own. He died tragically at the age of 30. Bee Gees were born on the Isle of Man to English parents. The Gibb brothers lived in Chorlton, Manchester, England until the late 50s. There in 1955, they formed the Skiffle rock and roll group, the Rattlesnakes. The family then moved to Red Cliffs in the Moreton Bay region, Queensland, Australia, later to Crib Island. After achieving their first chart success in Australia as the Bee Gees with Spicks and Specks, their 12th single, they returned to the UK January of 1967, when producer Robert Stigwood began promoting them in worldwide audience. The Bee Gees' Saturday Night Fever soundtrack in 1977 was the turning point of their career, with both the film and soundtrack having cultural impact throughout the world. Enhancing the disco scene's mainstream appeal, they won 5 Grammy Awards for Saturday Night Live, I mean Saturday Night Fever, including Album of the Year. The Bee Gees have sold over 120 million records worldwide, with estimates as high as over 225 million records sold worldwide, making them among the best-selling musical artists of all time. They were inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1997. The Hall citation says only Elvis and the Beatles, Michael Jackson, Garth Brooks, and Paul McCartney have outsold the Bee Gees. With 9 number one hits on the Billboard's Hot 100, the Bee Gees are the third most successful band in the Billboard charts history, behind only the Beatles and the Supremes. Following Maurice's sudden death, and we'll get into the death of Maurice and Robin later. Following Maurice's sudden death in 1953, after 45 years of 2009, Robin and Barry had agreed that the Bee Gees reform and perform again in May 2012 at the age of 62. After a prolonged period of failing health, leaving Barry as the only surviving member of the group. I watched a documentary, an interview with Barry, and he was very saddened that Andy, Robin, and Maurice, all younger brothers, died before him. I remember the Bee Gees when I was in school. I had a crush with the princess of the class above me, ahead of me. I wanted me to ask her out. Susan Friss was her name. She was beautiful. I was sitting in a beanbag chair at a friend's house, with low lights, and they put on Bee Gees' greatest hits. So I go back to that moment anytime I hear some of the songs, the early songs of the Bee Gees. With me tonight from the Bee Gees is Deborah Lee. Hi, Deb.
Hello, Hatter. I thought I would mention that Wayne is here with us as well.
All right. Hey, Wayne.
Hey, what's up, Batman?
Yeah. You remember the Bee Gees? Did you listen to them? Or?
Oh, man, Bee Gees was big back in the day. He was one of my favorite bands back in the Saturday Night Fever was just it was overwhelming at that point. They were just they was fabulous. I mean, they all walk a certain way, We all wanted to fight everybody and ride the bull. It was a good movie, and it was a good band. They had 3 good big hits in that song in that movie. It was a good time back then. Quite the wildest to me. To be such a high pitched sound, they sure had all the guys wanting to fight and get rowdy. They had it all together back then.
Yeah, some of the songs, I think Robin's, what he did, I Started a Joke, was a major hit. It's not listed as their best selling one, but I think it was one of the most influential songs. I started a joke, and Barry's How Do You Mend a Broken Heart. In fact, that's Robin singing most of that also.
Lonely Days.
That's one of my favorites. We'll be playing that here in a minute.
It wasn't listed
as one of their best songs. I mean, I read their top 15, I think, songs, and Lonely Days wasn't on there.
It's hard to believe. That's one of my favorite ones.
You know, I think they got most of the whole Saturday Night Fever album, Tragedy, Staying Alive. And we'll be playing that. We'll be playing those.
Jive Talking?
Yeah, Jive Talking. That's a good. The music's okay, but I don't like the lyric, Jive Talking. I wasn't a disco fan.
I wasn't either. I was anti-disco all the way. But when it first came out, it wasn't really. That's how disco started. It wasn't really. It was right before disco to me. When Saturday Night Fever came out, it was right before disco. And then all of a sudden, Grease turned disco.
I've always said that we grew up in the greatest era you could ask for, and we apologize for the music, especially the music, the evolution of rock and roll through the 60s and the 70s. Then we got to apologize for disco. That's the only thing. It was good music.
My wife is dressed up on a Saturday night in her creepy costumes and go disco dancing, and I'd think, see you later, and I'd go to strip joints.
Well, I'll tell you, if you wanted to meet some girls, going out to the nightclubs, discoed out. I mean, it was big. It was huge.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into Maurice Gibb. He's basically the quiet one, but he was like John Paul Jones of Led Zeppelin. He was the music guy. He played several instruments and had a lot to do with the writing of some of the songs. Let me go back to the studio. I can do this. Still there. There it is. All right.
Looking for the song. Here it is.
Let's play Lonely Days by the Bee Gees. Good morning, Mr. Sun.
Lonely days. early days by the Bee Gees. Following the breakup and reunion of the Bee Gees, penned the song called Lonely Days and reflected their struggles. Maurice Gibb recalled the time someone mistook the song for a Beatles track.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, it sort of sounds like the Beatles. During the interview on Billboard's, Chuck Taylor and the Bee Gees said the Bee Gees' song Lonely Days was akin to a blues song. Yes, and that was written the day he came back together after the breakup. It was number three on the top 100 for 14 weeks. I remember that song well on the, playing on the radio all the time. That was probably middle school. Did I say something?
It was a great song. It did remind me of the Beatles. That time it comes on, I think of the Beatles. That was my favorite song.
There's a couple of tracks. Yeah, there are a couple of tracks that people mistook and thought it was the Beatles. That one does sound like John singing, doesn't it? That's Barry. Yeah.
It's got the Sgt. Pepper's kind of thing to it, kind of Sgt. Pepper's rhythm to it.
Yeah, I can't think of what is the other song they thought was the Beatles. I'll find it. In 1988, Andy Gibb, the youngest brother, trying to live up to his own success. He was overwhelmed, basically, with the fame. He was a very good-looking dude and considered a pop star, along with David Cassidy, Bobby Sherman, were put up on pedestals at a very, very young age.
I remember well.
Yeah, Andy got into the drug scene, the cocaine, years and years of it. He went into rehab several times, three or four times, failed every time, and through the years, when he was clean, through the years, his heart had taken its toll with the cocaine use, and he died at the age of 30. These guys were really tight. I mean, they were a group for 45 years, traveled together, sang together, and one said that the one Bee Gee was all the Bee Gees. So it was the Brothers Gibb.
I think they put out 50 albums.
What's that?
I think they put out 50 albums, something like 50 albums.
Yeah. It's incredible. 45 years.
Yep.
I think the only one that I can think of were the Righteous Brothers. So when Bill Medley talked about Bobby Hatfield dying, he said they traveled for 50 years together. He said they never argued, never had a bad thing to say about each other. They loved each other like brothers. And Bill Medley was quite saddened by the loss of his partner, Bobby Hatfield. Yeah, he was the tenor. He sang all those beautiful songs.
50 years, long time.
I remember thinking, because I loved it before, but when the disco scene came around, I remember like Frank Zappa, Alice Cooper, a lot of the guys that were at the peak of their careers said that Saturday Night Fever probably was the best produced album of all time.
Yeah.
You can see Frank Zappa and Alice Cooper saying that, yeah, about the Bee Gees. I think Paul McCartney also said respect for the album.
Yeah, Alice Cooper was one of my favorite back then. He was one of my favorite. Yeah, Alice Cooper was. BG's the disco hit, and I kind of faded after they got to the disco scene. I kind of just dropped off a little bit with the rock and roll.
Yeah, you know, they did not like. I read several articles and they did not like being known as the disco, the voice of disco or the band of disco, whatever, a disco band.
They're more like love music. They play love music where you want to be getting rock and roll. You just kind of love music.
You know, and that was in the United States. I don't know if Australia or the England, UK had a disco era. I'm not sure if they did, but the United States sure did.
Oh, yeah. I remember well.
So I'm going to play what I consider one of their best songs. How can you mend a broken? How do you mend a broken heart? This is Robin and Barry singing this. Robin starts and then Barry does the chorus.
I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see tomorrow.
Was their very first number one in America, a special record in Bee Gees history. This is a very special night in the history of A&E's Live by Request. We're on the air right now, live all over the Western Hemisphere. The show is also being simulcast on the Jones Radio Network. Got a yell for Western Hemisphere. I like that.
Anybody here from Western Hemisphere?
Anybody here from the Western Hemisphere? BG fans are also joining us on our global webcast. So tonight, millions of people all over the planet are enjoying the soundtrack of their lives, 35 years of the Bee Gees' greatest hits. Now, the number to call, if you want to talk to the Bee Gees, 1-866-BGs, or you can log on to livebyrequest.com. Right now, there are only about 500,000 people on hold. The buttons are just lighting, so let's hear from one very patient caller. This is Donna from Boulder, Colorado. Hello, Donna.
Hi.
Hello, Donna.
Hi, Bee Gees. I love you guys.
Oh, thank
I love you.
You
so much. I love you all so much.
Thank you.
Barry, you've been in my dreams forever. I'm married.
What did I do?
I've married my husband because he looks just like you.
Oh, don't tell him that.
Barry, can you please just say hi, Donna, for me so I can hear you
try
say my name?
Video.
Hello, Donna. Oh, God. Oh, Donna.
I
had a good...
Thank you, sweetheart.
If I said it, hello, Donna.
Hello, babies.
Thank you.
That was a lonely day. I mean, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? I consider one of their best songs. It was written, they had a 2-year breakup, and Robin went to Barry and said that he wanted to get back together. And these two songs were written the same day, Lonely Days and How Can You Mend a Broken Heart. And it was written in the same session. Barry Gibb recalled Robin had come to see me talk about getting back together roughly 2 years after they broke up. Barry discussed the meanings of the aforementioned songs, Lonely Days, and How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, how he felt about coming back together. So while we weren't saying these things, this is Barry talking, so while we weren't saying these things to each other, we were writing songs that about these things. Maurice Gibb said that band members' wives loved Lonely Days. That was probably them clapping. How Can You Mend a Broken Heart about their breakup? They were tight. I could only imagine Barry. Like I said earlier, Barry was really saddened about losing his all three younger brothers, and he survived. Barry's like 75 now, and he's gone. He is performing some of the songs, and I watched a video of him in Nashville with a bunch of country guys. The guy could sing, man.
Yeah, Barry wrote a lot of songs for the people and the singers too. Barry was a good songwriter. You go for people like Diana Ross, and them.
Yeah, they listed as far as singles. The Beatles and the Supremes were the only ones that outsold the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees were number three in singles sales.
I think he wrote a song for the Supremes. If I'm mistaken. Barry did. Barry wrote several songs for a big time artist.
It was, they do say that Robin and Barry or Maurice and Barry had written the songs, so they never really stood out trying to be the leader or the most favorite. They all shared each other's success together. I thought there's not too many families that could stay together, let alone these guys performed and traveled the world over and over. Never had anything bad to say about each other. I do remember when Maurice died, Barry was out of the country at the time, and Robin had made a decision about the funeral or the what happened after Maurice died. And Barry was quite upset because I think he just wasn't there at the time. Maurice was ashes were made into stones, and the stones were given to Robin, Barry, and their mother. And when the three got together, that's when Maurice was together with them. It's pretty cool when they had it. You can have your ashes made into a stone. I've never heard of that before.
Me either. Well.
Yeah, let me get back to the page.
Hey, Hatter, yeah. Wayne's planning on hanging out, but he did bring you a present. I thought it might be cool to have him do that, and
Sure.
way, if he should have to leave, we know he got to read his poem.
Okay. Yeah, let's do that. I like Hatter gifts.
Yeah, I called it the Bee Gees. Somebody used to call it the Bee Gees. I wrote this about 3 hours ago after seeing you have a show tonight. And it comes like this. Then you get the feeling, hearing a high-pitched squeal. Oh, the bass of music was the real deal. Love music is what I grew up on. Because the best. Can you remember them and Simon Garfunkel singing with me? The Saturday night heat fever hit, I was working on the spot. But then the horse was pulling me off every night. He was so high, he was going to the ground pocket. And the summer was going to start walking.
So, what is that? Wait. Hatter?
Yeah.
Can you hear that? Wayne, can you hear that?
What do you hear?
Okay. Yeah, I don't hear it now. All right. I apologize,
yeah,
but I could barely hear you. Can you start over?
Yeah. Never forget the feeling hearing that high-pitched squeal. Those were the days when music was the real deal. Love music is what I grew up on. I wish the love was back. When it comes to the best, nothing BG's like. Today, listen to the music for the first time since 83. Can remember them when Simon Garfunkel singing with me. When Saturday Night Fever hit, all we wanted to do was fight. And that damn bull kept throwing me off every night. New hits were Stand Alive, Should Be Dancing, and Jive Talking. I can still remember the way Travolta had us all walking. For such a happy sound, it was one movie made for men. Writing this poem makes me want to watch it all over again. How Can You Mend a Broken Heart was a great sad song. It made me think, made everyone think when in love where they went wrong. Can't forget Lonely Days, but it was Good Morning, Mr. Sunshine. Bee Gees had a lot of great songs. Lonely Days was a favorite of mine. Ian?
Yeah, you got all the good ones in there. Yeah, this is cool. Well, you had a part, then that damn bull kept throwing me off every night.
Yeah, remember that? Remember that bull in the first saloon? That was good old days back then. We was a rowdy bunch of guys.
Yeah, you know, I like that you mentioned Garfunkel, Simon Garfunkel. Robin Gibb had the golden voice, just like Garfunkel.
Yep. Those two groups were, I think, along to it for years.
Barry's got that falsetto. He could climb that octave really fast and get really high. But Robin, my Lord. That kid could sing. We play in, I think, one of his best songs is I Started a Joke. That's a Robin. Thank you, Wade. That was pretty cool. Can't forget Lonely Days with Good Morning, Mr. Sunshine. You brighten up my day. Okay. Now, if I didn't lose the studio by going to
wait. For one thing, that was cute when the two of you started singing. But what Wayne, I like your poem. I like how you mentioned that high pitched squeal. We heard an example of it in the song you played earlier, where the girls were squealing afterwards. The rhyme in it. The information, like I can still remember the way Travolta had us all walking for such a high-pitched sound. That was one movie made for men. Writing the poem makes me want to watch it all over again. I can picture that white outfit and the moves that he's making. I'm very familiar with the Bee Gees songs and stuff, but the disco thing, but what can you do? But no, I was a great share, and I like that you name dropped songs in here and stuff. It's a really fun write, Wayne.
Thank you very much. Yeah, Travolta, remember Travolta? He said, when he was walking, he was going to see his girlfriend, so he had a big walk where he was just swinging his shoulders. He had to walk where everybody was standing, his chest stuck out, and went out like he was a badass there for a while. Saturday Night Fever was a great, great movie.
Hey, nobody could strut like Richard Travolta. He'd try right. walking like he did in I think it's Staying Alive.
He get beat up like it.
He did a real good job. Is that AP Taylor in the studio?
That is.
Hi, AP.
Well, of course, the BGs did spend some time in Australia. Not heap of time, but some time in Australia. In their formative years.
I'll get into when they moved out there. Did they have a disco fad in Australia in the 70s?
They did have a couple of very early songs, Hatter, but, I mean, of course, they didn't achieve very much before the Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, of course.
I'm not talking about just the Bee Gees songs and the album and the movie. I mean, there was on the West Coast here, it was all involved disco. The nightclubs, how you dressed, it was embarrassing. That wasn't embarrassing. There was good music. It was good music. But along with the disco, you had like Donna Summers and the Sister Sledge, and that was also disco. You had Kool and the Gang and Earth, Wind and Fire even.
Year 25, Marvin Gaye, all of us, disco.
Yeah. So, AP, are you here to hang out for a while, or?
I was going to hang out for a little while, Hatter. I wasn't sure how many folk were going to be there, so I didn't want you talking to yourself the whole time, so I thought I'd better come and hang out for a little bit.
I'm good at mumbling and talking to myself.
Did you hear Wayne's poem?
I was actually just having a look at Wayne's poem because I got here too late, I have to admit. But it's a very neat poem, Wayne. I like the AB rhyme. It's always nice to put Jive Talking in any poem. And, because that was such a cool song. It was just really fun. Because the Bee Gees sort of were sort of there, and then they weren't. You know, you turned around, they were there, they were everywhere, and then they were gone. You know, and
the reason is disco died.
Yeah, just sort of happened overnight, really, and they were so associated with it, and their sounds were so associated with it that they ended up, you know, only doing backing vocals really after that.
Were they embraced as Australian boys? Probably.
Yes, very much so, Patter.
Very
much.
You know, Marie, I watched an interview, and Barry says that that's home. Australia is home. Born in the Isle of Man, Australia, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think often, because they were there for, from, I think, the age of 10 through to the age of early 20s, yeah? So they were there for, like, real formative years, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's nobody bigger for about 4 or 5 years.
Oh, no, that was huge. They were everywhere. And then they, as you say, the day of disco died, and they were gone. You know, they were no longer there, and they did make a couple of comebacks as backing singers, but very good singers. Yeah.
Yeah, it was 1988 is when Andy died. I think that shook the group up. Andy wanted to be part of the Bee Gees, but he couldn't be. He just couldn't. They were already so successful. But Andy had 10 hits in the top 10, I believe.
Yes.
Top 20, yeah. And instant fame.
And that's sometimes that music industry, that fame could eat you up, and sadly it did with Andy. He was sort of lost. He was married to who was the who's the Charlie's Angels? The Kerr Fawcett, Cheryl Ladd, and who's the other girl?
Kate Jackson.
I heard that other one, the one I didn't mention. Principal? Oh. Well, anyway, he was married to, one of the Charlie's Angels for a very short time, I think only a year and a half, 2 years.
Jacqueline Smith?
No, that's it, but that's not her. I got them mixed up. I'll go find it.
Cheryl Ladd.
Look it up. No. I got it wrong. It's not Charlie's Angel. I know. I'm wrong. I thought it was Principal, but it's not. Shoot. Look at somebody over the computer to look it up. I can't do it on my phone right now. I know Barry was married to Lulu. Oh, no, Maurice was married to Lulu, who was a pop star of her own before he married Yvonne, or Yvette, or Yvonne. I think it's Yvonne. I'm going to play another song here. We were going to just do this for about an hour, a little over an hour, and then we're going to dissect American Pie, but I think we're going to just stick with the Bee Gees. We've got a lot of songs stacked up to play. So we're going to do American Pie. Later, yeah. I started a joke.
Yeah, because those lyrics are a show themselves.
Yeah. I started a joke. He said, Robin did. Great music.
Started a joke, which started the whole world crying. But I didn't think, oh no, that the joke was on me. Oh no. I started to cry, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I'd only seen that the joke was on me. I looked at the sky, running my hand over my eyes, and I fell out of bed, hurting my head. Something that I said. Till I finally died, which started the whole world laughing. Oh, if I only seen that the joke was of me.
Yeah, I started a joke. It's Robin Gibb and the Bee Gees. Song was about someone who has done or said something horribly wrong, which resulted in alienating everyone around him. It's a great example of lyrical songwriting and very much a love it or hate it song, with the opening line, I started a joke, which started the whole world crying, followed with I started a cry, which set the whole world laughing. The song can be heard as achingly poignant as or overly sentimental, depending on your mindset. Beautiful song. It just rips your heart out. That was one of the songs, Lonely Days. I started a joke, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, before the disco thing in the mid-70s. We're probably in Massachusetts, we probably played more than any other of the other songs. If you want a good album to play, get the Bee Gees Gold album. All the songs before Saturday Night Fever. That's a whole different set. I believe the whole different kind of Bee Gees then. Yeah, get the Bee Gees Gold, the early from the 60s. I think it was in 70 or 71, 72. All the greatest hits. What's that pass? Okay. Let's see. Robin Gibb's son played this song just after his father died, when Robin died from kidney failure on May 20th, 2003. Oh, that's when he sang the song, 2012. When he passed away, we all went out. They took the equipment away, and we came back in and picked up my phone and found I Started a Joke on YouTube and played it. It's one of those, that's close to being one of those generation songs. Robin can make you cry, just like Clapton can make his guitar cry, Robin can make you with his voice. I think the only other one I could think of was Art Garfunkel that is able to do that, to me anyway. The lyrics of I started, of course, it beeped out. What was your favorite Bee Gees song, Deborah? You like the disco part? You like the the 1975, 77, that was the disco, to 80. But before that, there's a lot of songs before that. A lot of people like Jive Talking or Staying Alive, Tragedy, those songs. I tend to like earlier songs more.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually would have been listening to them, of course, with my dad, and it would be the earlier ones before the Saturday Night Fever craze.
Yeah.
So, like, the ones you chose, Lonely Nights. How Can You Mend a Broken Heart?
Yeah, I think How Can You Mend a Broken Heart, I believe is my favorite. Bee Gees are one that it enhances if you watch them sing. If you're watching them sing it, it makes it a little better than listening. But after you see it, you can visualize.
I like the intro song that you chose as well.
Oh, yeah. To Love Somebody. I did that because that's when Barry goes, he does that like three times and melts all the girls.
You were doing it on the mute button while it was playing.
Yeah. He's got all of them. The only one that didn't really come out and sing any solos was Maurice. He could harmonize with as good as any of them, but, I mean, if you were to list some of the best voices of that era, Barry and Robin would both be up there. Usually a group has one, you know, one that Robin, the golden voice, and Barry had that, you know, but that thing that panties are thrown on stage for. But it's cool. I started a joke. I can get a broken heart. This is another one of my favorite. And I can remember Sue Frist and the Beanbag Chair. I've got to get enough to you. One of the best. Got a good message to you. Now, you'd think that was sort of a love song, but it's not. It is about somebody that's on death row. He's got only an hour to live, and he wants to get a message to his mom and dad. Explains. Okay, and it's only her love that keeps me wearing this dirt Now I'm crying deep, but deep down inside. Well, I did it to him. Now it's my turn to die. I just got to get a message to you. Oh, love. One more time, one more hour. It gets stuck in your head. I didn't know that what it was about until earlier today when I was doing some research. AP Taylor, what's your favorite BG song?
Well, see, I'm going to be controversial here, Hatter, because I actually like some of the stuff that they did later on. I know everybody's going to say, okay. But
No. That's just me.
Yeah, I really liked Heartbreaker, which they did with Dionne Warwick, and it's just a really complicated set of song chords, and Dionne Warwick was just a brilliant singer, and their backing vocal was just beautiful. So I really like Heartbreaker.
You know, I've seen any of the collaborations they'll sing with other people. It's just brilliant. They really add to it was Ricky Skaggs in Nashville is what I watched, and Barry Kazup sings. I almost put that to be loaded in here, but there's a lot of talk. It's very long. Ricky Skaggs has a habit of talking too much sometimes. But talking about somebody on death row. It's only got an hour. Really, he's got to get a message to his parents and I guess to his wife too. Whatever. It's one of the best. I love it. I love it. At the end of the songs, he does it in Lonely Days. Barry does this in Lonely Days, Lonely Nights. He sort of rocks it out. He does it at the end of this song too. I love that. Just shows the talent of Barry Gibb. Deb, did I ask you your favorite BG song? You liked before the B? You liked? Oh, I did. You liked the?
I think it's Wayne's turn.
Yeah, Wayne. What's your favorite BG song?
Well, you can't really talk about the BGs unless you play something in the disco age. Like You Should Be Dancing. That was one of my favorite ones. There's a disco age, but you can't really talk about the BGs with somebody playing something in the disco era. I think You Should Be Dancing.
Don't get me wrong. That's all good music, very good music. It was just the era of disco, and I wasn't a disco guy. So I don't want to come off like that was bad music because it wasn't. They won 5 Grammys for that one album. I think they were nominated for 7. They got album of the year for it.
They're dominating some music. They're dominating. You Should Be Dancing.
Yeah, can't complain too much.
Don't put your money where your mouth is. What would they rather hear, Staying Alive or Night Fever? You got both of those in there.
Yeah. Let's get back to the studio. There we go. I almost screwed up.
How Deep Is Your Love was another good one.
How Could You Bend a Broken Heart? Lonely Days. Okay, I'm going to go Strutting Down with Travolta. Stay Alive.
Yeah.
Stayed Alive by the Bee Gees. The Bee Gees wrote this song over a few days after Robert Stigler wanted the song to be named Saturday Night after the then title of the film, but they added Fever to encompass the song title of Night Fever instead. Barry Gibb said of the track, "People crying out for help, desperate songs, those are the ones that become giants. The minute you can capture that on record, it's gold."
Yep.
Go ahead, Wayne.
So I can remember four or five guys walking into what we call the meat market. There's five or six places we were dancing. And I remember I was walking in single file with that song playing, and looking around to see if like any of these guys want to mess with us. We looked like we was kings or something walking in, like we was badasses, and that was some good memories back then. It was a good time back in those days.
Yeah, the strut Travolta had. Just can't copy it. Definitely. Now, in 2003, sadly, Maurice Gibb died. He complained of stomach pain and he was hospitalized. Immediate surgery for intestinal blockage, and he was recovering for it. While he was recovered, he complained of stomach pain and went into cardiac arrest. It took over 10 minutes to get – he was on the 10th floor – I believe that it took over 10 minutes for staff to get the equipment to him. By then, there was severe brain damage, and he died. The issue was the hospital was at fault. They should have had that should not have happened in a hospital. Basically, the brothers wanted to sue the hospital, but the decision was Yvonne. Give that was her name, his wife. She had the power to decide whether the suit would. She thought it was wrong to sue the hospital, but there was an undisclosed amount paid to his children and Yvonne for that tragedy. The hospital was at fault, but even after that, Barry and Robin went to some attorneys and said, "Can we sue the hospital?" And they said no. But Yvonne talked them out of it. So they were quite devastated and pissed about what happened to Maurice. She shouldn't have died. That was going through the end of the Bee Gees. Robin and Barry did get together and wanted to continue touring, and because of a tribute to Maurice, they called him Mo. Or maybe I call him Mo Gibb. Good looking dude. You know, Rob being a twin with Robin, they're not identical by any means. Robin's a little homely in the face, and Maurice was a handsome man. But Robin had the voice, called the voice. Maurice. There's a concert. They're in Las Vegas. I think it's one of the best to watch. The Las Vegas Bee Gees. There is in the audience, front row, is Olivia Newton-John, which they had basically a love affair without just being friends. Olivia Newton-John and somebody else. Let me get the papers. Anyway, it's a great concert to listen to. They sing a song, and they do a cappella. I don't know what the name of the song. It goes, "Have you seen my wife, Mr. Jones? Don't be too loud, you'll call a landslide." I think it's landslide.
CRL 17 shared a true story that he has about the Bee Gees, specifically Barry Gibb. Okay. And I asked him if it was okay to share it. And like I said, it's a true story. So
can you post it on the page? Can you post it in the
Yeah. It's not he didn't publish it on the site. He just put it on the topic board, so I was just going to read it. But it's a
Break
true
it up,
story.
Yeah.
I'm breaking up.
A little bit.
If I'm breaking up, then I don't want to ruin it. AP, will you look in the chat room?
Yeah.
And
sure.
I mean, I'm sorry, in the topic board? Are you logged in?
Sure. Yeah. I have a quick look now. So bear with me, Hatter. I'll be
sure.
One tick, because I read it before as well. Okay. This is from CRL 17.5. Hours ago, he put this true story in, and it goes like this, Hatter. My partners and I drove Orlando to Miami, entered the private community in which we lived, got directions to his house, and away we went. As we pulled up to the address we were given, we saw large yachts in the coastal waterway behind several of the homes. I parked at the end of a long driveway where we began to discuss who was going to present our demo tape. After much back and forth, I grabbed the demo and said, I'll do it, and I walked up to the front door and rang the bell and waited. The door opened and a 40-something-year-old woman appeared at the door in what looked like to be a maid's uniform. She asked me if she could help me, and I explained that I needed to hand-deliver a demo tape to the owner of the house. She said, please wait here for a moment, and ushered me into the foyer. She walked up a long, sweeping stairway and disappeared several minutes later. She came back down the stairs and said that he would see me, but he didn't quite understand how he could help. We walked up the stairs to the landing above. She said, just down the hall to the left, you'll find him. There was television in the background. As I entered a large room, I looked to my left, and there was a 70-something-year-old man with salt and pepper, scraggly grey hair sprawled on a sofa. That's me. I said he was sorry, but he wasn't the Barry Gibb I was looking for, and I thanked him for his time. The maid escorted me back to the front door. All the time I was trying not to burst out laughing. I walked back towards the car, put the demo on my pocket, got in and started laughing hysterically. Al's yelling at me, what happened? Jack yelled, damn it, tell us what happened. Then I then explained what took place. I started the car and we headed back to the I-95 and home towards Orlando, laughing all the way. It was a trip of a lifetime.
Really? Not the Barry Gibb I was looking for. So it wasn't him? Or it was, and he didn't...
I think he's just too
well,
old.
I was going to say it was a 70-year-old man, not the Barry Gibb. He was trying to find with his demo.
Yeah.
Okay, so Barry... Oh, I get it. Okay. Because
so
Barry's
like,
75
yeah,
now.
So
this
yeah,
is
a... Yeah, it's...
Back.
It's a... It's
interesting. They drove all that way to give Barry Gibb a demo tape. It wasn't him.
I mean, it was him.
That's pretty good. Thank you, CRL17. Interesting. Thank you for sharing that.
It wouldn't be that easy to get to a place like that nowadays, though.
Yeah, a lot of entertainers aren't approachable anymore. There's still some that embrace the public, but not too many. You know, you look at some of the there was Grimmie. Her name was I can't remember her first name. She got number three in America's Got Talent was. And she was in Orlando, in Florida, signing autographs after the concert, and some crazed fan shot her and killed her. So your fame can be the end of you. There's several other instances like that way. Selena was another one, wasn't she, killed by a fan?
Mm-hmm.
And some artists had close calls with crazed public. So you can't blame them for not being approachable anymore. But like I said, there are some Interesting. The Barry Gibb I'm looking for. That's pretty good. A demo tape. So Sarah L17 is a musician. Cool.
Really?
You can bring the demo tape and we'll check it out. Well,
yeah,
it finally happened.
That would be cool to read him in a
student. Say that again?
Let's talk about... I said it was a true story about him and his friends, and could you imagine the standing there and thinking that you were seconds from handing Andy Gibb your demo and then it being a 70-year-old instead?
Which is it in the 70s?
Maybe saying, I'm not sure. But it talk about an oh well, whatever, never mind moment.
Interesting.
Wayne requested a song, You Should Be Dancing, so we loaded it in there.
Oh, okay.
I'm just kidding. You know, the three talking about it, it's fine. I heard enough, but it was pretty guilty, but I've already heard the disco age. We didn't play it guilty.
Better watch it, though. He'll be breaking out with another beer.
If I remember right, You Should Be Dancing, they harmonized while they're screaming in a high octave. Is it at the top?
How good is
it? Is it on the list, Deb, or is it on the bottom?
It may say it should be on the list.
Oh, I got it. I see it. Okay. Should be done. This is off the stage.
This was this co found. I like where the song is.
Forget this.
should be dancing the Bee Gees at the Saturday Night Fever album. You got to love a rock band that has horns. We're running out of time here. I want to play one more song from the same album. I think it's one of the best. Tragedy. Tragedy, and I was wrong. Tragedy was a Bee Gees song written by Barry and Maurice Gibb, included the 1979 album Spirits Having Flown. Wasn't the Saturday Night Fever. Single reached number one in the UK February 79 and repeated the feat the following month on the U.S. Billboard Pop 100 of the USA. The Bee Gees, Tragic Kid with the brothers. They gave us a lot of love songs. Listening. Thank you, Wayne, for calling in. A.P. Taylor, always a pleasure, sir. And Deborah Lee, can't do it without you. Love you. Thank you so
appreciate
much.
Appreciate it.
Anybody want, we got less than a minute. Anybody want to say something else? A.P.? Go ahead, Deb.
He put on the board, A.P. put on the show, on the chat wall, fun show by Hatter. And Wayne just said, yeah, Hatter, fun show, thank you. And he hung up. And you can't close out the show without, yeah, and you can't close out the show without saying how can you mend a broken heart, just saying.
Okay, we'll do that.
But, yeah, very informative show. And I tried to find the wife for you, and the only famous name I recognized was Lulu, a singer.
Lulu was married to Barry.
And I didn't see any other.
Are you in the studio?
Yes.
Can you play it? It dropped about 4 minutes.
Yeah, no problem. Mm-hmm. But fun show.
The Bee Gees. Brothers.
And tomorrow night at 10 is Open Poetry with Liquid Damage, everyone. So be sure to stop by.
Yep.
Here it goes, Heather.
How do I get the ice cream man to come by?
I can still feel the ground, still feel the trees.
I can think of younger days when living for my life was everything a man could want to do. I could never see.
Let me live it again.
Number one in America, a special record in BG history. This is a very special night in the history of A&E's Live by Request. We're on the air right now, live all over the Western Hemisphere. The show is also being simulcast on the Jones Radio Network. Got a yell for Western.
I did this to you. This gorgeous ballad, down "How Can You Mend a Broken Heart," was written by Barry and Robin. And it was the lead single for their 1971 Trafalgar album. A year later, soul legend Al Green recorded a stunning cover version, and the track was later the title for their official documentary film in 2020. And I invite everybody to watch that. You can find it on YouTube. Very good. The Brothers Gibb. So much to talk about. Great voices. Just impressed. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Deborah, thank you so much. What'd you think about
Great to Hunger? Yeah. And I have to say, usually when you have me load 5,000 songs, you only use a couple. This time, you only did not use three. So, bravo. Just teasing you. Great tune.
Got to quit talking. Right. Yeah, thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Yeah. Debbie can't do anything. Can't do this without you. Love you, sweetie. See you later. I can still feel the breeze, I'll stand through the trees, the memories of days gone by.